prayers. People communicated by text and things like that, that they were praying. And Brother Lindell and I were speaking earlier, that means everything. That's what gets the job done. Amen. It's humbling to know that people, with all the things we got going on in this world, individually and for others, all the things going on, need our prayers. It's humbling to be on that list with anybody. And I count it a real blessing to not just be a friend of this church, but to be a recipient of your time at the throne of grace. So thank you. So people have asked, how'd the surgery go? Well, we're doing okay. We're getting around. We're walking around. Probably still going to be healing for a long time, I guess. But range of motion's getting better little by little. I'm able to get on my motorcycle and off without help. Amen. That's new development. But this is the first time we've had the motorhome back on the road. And, since all this, before all this began in December, thank you for working with us schedule wise. We canceled 7 meetings and, I was worried this was going to be one of them. I asked God. I didn't want to cancel any of them. I asked God and he showed us how to do it. And, so when I ran it by Brother Billy and it worked, that's him. Amen. And, so the surgery went well, I guess. I'd say. My wife says, being the spiritual giant that she is, she said, if you die before me, I'm going to recycle you. She's not calling undertakers. She's going to call the recycle people. There's a lot of, I don't know what titanium's worth. Amen. But, I could care less because I ain't going to need it no more. Amen.
Amen.
So take your Bible tonight and go to Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. Amen. I texted some of the folks at home and I said, winter is over for us. We came through Tennessee, Kentucky, Arkansas, Northeast Texas. Those are the towns you've been hearing about on the news the last couple of days. Don't be on the highway. That's where we had to drive to come through here. We woke up Wednesday morning. We left on Tuesday. We woke up Wednesday morning in Arkansas with the motorhome reeling and rocking. And I thought nobody in their right mind is going to be out on the highway today. So then we started it up and headed out anyway. God got us here. But then we got here and it was 95 degrees. So I went, whoa. Anyway, Matthew chapter 17, and let's begin in verse 1. The Bible says this, and after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into an high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee and one for Moses and one for Elias. And while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. I think that was God's very gracious way of telling Peter to shut up. Amen. Amen. Peter was often guilty of answering when nobody asked any questions. This was another case like this. But he did say something profound. That'll be our topic tonight. He said, it is good to be here. Amen. So I concur. It's good to be here, especially after this tumultuous winter and rescheduling and all that. So, but the topic tonight, Peter said it, and that was good. Peter, again, often felt the need to say things when there was no question offered. Sometimes what he said was good. Amen. No doubt about it. I'm not knocking him. He's one of my heroes. But it said in Matthew 16:15, he saith unto them, that be the Lord, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Amen. And that was 100% right on the money. That's who he was. That's who he is tonight. Amen. And that was good. But then, like us, sometimes what Peter said got him in trouble. Just 8 verses later, the Lord turned and said unto Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan." If he was as easily offended as the people are in this day and age, this would have been a different story. Amen. Jesus said unto him, "Thou art an offense unto me." And he says, why? He didn't just leave him hanging. He says it so that we can see, so that we're not guilty of the same thing. "For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." Even in Bible-believing Christianity, we live in a day and age where we are so easily distracted, and so often we find ourselves guilty of savoring the things of men, and we find it hard to fit God into our schedule. You guys are going to break all the rules by having a meeting. Again, 10 full days. I go to churches now, and some, they want a meeting, they call me, they're willing to fly, they're willing to rent cars, they're willing to put us in hotels, and when we get down to the brass tacks, they want a Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And if that's the way they want it, that's good. But it's, what are they saying? It's not they don't want preaching, it's that they can't get people to come to a 5-day meeting like they once could. And that's just the day and age in which we live. You're the exception. And I'm humbled and honored to be the guest preacher for these next few days. What you're going to do is get an opportunity to find out what you savor. Amen. The things that be of God, or all the other things that are going on in our lives. And we're busy people. There's no discounting that. Peter said things that were good. Peter said things that got him into trouble. I mean, get thee behind me, Satan. Sometimes he said things that just made him look kind of dumb, which is what we've got right here. So the Lord, they takes him up there. Oh, these three guys, Peter, James, and John, saw something here on the Mount of Transfiguration that no one else ever saw. Amen. And but Peter felt it needful to make the comment, let's build 3 tabernacles. And here's what I can picture in my mind eye here. So here you got James and John, and you got the Lord, and you got Moses and Elias. And I think all the attention is going to be on the Lord. And here's Peter, and he says what he said. And I can picture all 5 of the others turn around looking at him like, what? That's when the Lord interjected. "Hear ye him." Okay, shut up, Peter. God's so gracious, isn't he? But Peter wasn't stupid at all, not by a long shot. Sometimes, like us, he feels a need to say things that probably, in retrospect, I should have kept that to myself. But again, Peter's one of my heroes. I'll tell you what, he had enough sense to follow the Lord. I mean, everybody that the Lord said, "Follow me," didn't. And all of them, we don't know their names. They come up with excuses pretty fast in Luke chapter 9, but not Peter, not James, not Andrew, not John. I respect that. They dropped it all, religion, family, their occupation, and follow the Lord. And he said, "I'll make thee fishers of men." Amen. Well, if they wouldn't have, the Lord would have found somebody else. But I can tell you right now, I guarantee you they're all glad they decided to follow Jesus. Amen. How about you? Amen. Are you glad? I'm not asking, are you glad you're saved? But I mean, some of you I've known for quite a few years now, and some of you I know have made a commitment, and you've decided, because it's a decision that you have to make. It's not automatic, far from it. But you made a decision, you're going to follow Jesus, and you're going to follow Jesus in every way in your life. As you grow in grace and mature in the Lord, he just keeps showing you things. And what a blessing it is to be part of the heritage of the living God. Amen. And I respect Peter. I tell you something else. He had the courage to take a stand in the garden. I mean, he drew a sword. I'm going to tell you, I spent a lot of years on the street. Let me tell you what happens when you draw a sword or a knife or a pistol. Someone else does too. When he drew that sword, he was willing to die. He said it earlier in the passage in Matthew 26, "I'm willing to die with you." And he meant it. Amen. I respect that. Amen. We live in a day and age where many Christians that would profess to be, I'm not talking about generally everybody that claims to be a Christian. I'm talking about Bible believers. I'm a Bible believer. That's a crowd I run with. That doesn't mean I don't have grace with others. I don't think that. But I'm going to tell you what, I run into people all the time. I preach to empty pews because something came along and they weren't willing to take a stand. Maybe because for no better reason than it was inconvenient.
Yeah, that's true.
That's too bad. That's too bad. Let alone cost him anything. I'm glad God took me out of a county jail 34 and a half years ago and put me in a little church on the backside of Dayton, Ohio, and put me with men and women too that took a stand that for this book, for what Jesus Christ did. And that's how I learned to be a child of God, to be a Bible-believing Christian. It isn't because of any spiritual journey on my part. I was a deadbeat of deadbeats. But God put me in a place where if I mess this up, it'd be nobody's fault but my own. And I needed it. And he put me around. You've got an opportunity to be around like-minded believers just like that, just as dedicated here. Amen. And everybody doesn't. But I'm going to tell you what, sometimes hardship's part of that, and you got to take a stand. And Peter had enough, I'll tell you what else, something that I don't see as much as I once did. Peter had enough character to admit that he was wrong. And he was wrong. He blew it, man. Some people, all they remember is that thing where he wept, you know, cursed the Lord and wept, you know. And I'm glad that the only thing people remember about me are not the bad decisions I made or the mistakes I made. And when the Lord dealt with him again graciously in John chapter 21, Peter, lovest thou me? Peter said, thou knowest I love you. And you can tell from the passage that his heart was broken. He was grieved that he had asked him three times. And that was where Peter humbled himself and got right. Amen. And the Lord said, all right, now I got something for you to do. Amen. So I respect all that. We live in a time where I know professing Christians who will never admit they're wrong. They will not admit they're wrong. And if they're busted dead to rights, they got somebody or something to blame. I'm going to tell you where the secret to repentance is. It goes like this. It's me, it's me, it's me, oh God, standing in need of prayer.
Amen.
This is personal. And it ain't always somebody else's fault. Amen. Sometimes we just got to take the blame. And if you will, well, then the Lord says, all right, get up.
Amen.
Let's get back in the fight. What I want to preach on tonight is what he said there in verse 4. He said, it is good for us to be here. And again, let me say, it's good for Susan and I to be here in Texas, in this church. I'm not a tourist. I come to Texas. I come to San Antonio. Not that I haven't been in the Alamo and the Space Needle and all the other cool things, because we enjoy evangelism. I come here for this church, for this meeting, and let me just say, it is good. I don't come for the weather. Amen. It is good for us to be here. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Now let's pray. Father, I love you, and I come to you in the name of my Savior. I thank you, God, for the good spirit. I thank you for the friendship and the prayers. I thank you, God, for the hymns. Thank you, God, for the special Miss Gabby sang. It was lovely. And God, I just pray and ask that you'd see fit to manifest yourself in your word tonight. Help me to say something your spirit can work with and bear witness to. Help me not say something stupid I'm prone to. But Lord, our desire, meeting here tonight on a Friday night is to exalt you in our spirit and our attitude and our attention. And God, I marvel that you'd give us the time of day. And you literally give us so much more than that. Even the very breath we breathe. God, help us to show that we appreciate it. Lord God, by the fruit of our lips, giving thanks. And I love you tonight. I pray that you do something that only you can get credit for. And I pray in Jesus' name, amen. So we're talking about it's good, it's good, it's good to be. I'll tell you where it's good. It's good to be saved. Now, I walk up to a pulpit a lot of times, you know, I'm in a church I haven't been doing a while, and it's kind of a way to break the ice, and I walk up there and say, it's good to be saved. And then if nobody says anything, like amen, squeaks out a little amen. Remember amens? Isn't that, that's old school stuff. And if nobody says amen when you say it's good to be saved, it kind of lets you know you're in for a rough night. Jesus. And when you communicate to me that I'm in for a rough night, I try to return that favor to you. Amen. Amen. But it is so true. It's the understatement of the human language to say that it's good to be saved. Amen. Good. That means forgiven. Amen. I didn't know. I heard a preacher preach in jail years ago, and all I really went away with was that hell thing. And I didn't respond to an invitation. I wasn't going to let some cop-looking, short-haired preacher think he got through to me. I was a tough guy. Before I became this old gray-haired grandpa, I was a tough guy. Amen. And I wasn't going to let some preacher think that he... Amen. But I couldn't get it out of my head. The message went in. The message went in my head, went in my ears, went in my head, went in my heart. And it took me 3 weeks. I'm a little hard-headed, but boy, one morning, and I didn't know that to be saved. At least 20 years since I've been in a church service. Amen. Raised as a Methodist and a kid, great parents, great people, around nice people. Amen. Very boring. Very subdued. By the time I turned 18 in 1971, I was looking to find out where the action was, because it wasn't in the body of Christ. Amen. Boy, was I wrong. I've been in some places where the Lord met with us, and ain't this world got nothing to compare when we'll let God have the preeminence. Amen. And I expect that this week. Amen. Amen. He didn't ride. That motorhome's kind of big, but he didn't ride with me. But I'll tell you what, he's more interested in meeting with us this night and this week than we are. Amen. Isn't that good to know? Amen. All right. So I didn't know to ask to be saved. I mean, the preacher probably said it 3 weeks before. I didn't remember that, but I'm going to tell you what I did know. And I think everybody knows this. I knew enough to ask for forgiveness. I knew I was a sinner. Amen. That's why we like preaching in prisons, in jails, because they know they're sinners. Yeah, I was at a prison in Central Ohio 3 weeks ago. Three men came forward and got saved. Amen. Three men got saved. You can just, all that sin to come short of the glory of God. You know what convicts do? They bow their head, man. Not to pray, but they just lower their eyes. They know they're sinners. You say that in some churches, people bow up at you. Who do you think he's talking to? You. I'm talking to you. That book says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and there's no exceptions. Say, well, I never did this or that. That's your problem. Amen. Because you're comparing yourself with some kind of standard that doesn't exist in God's economy, instead of just believing, acknowledging, and being honest with yourself what the Bible says. And every one of us, we're sinners. Yeah. Amen. And so three men came forward, and now they're saved sinners. Like me. Some of you. Maybe all of you, I don't know. Amen. But I knew to ask to be forgiven that morning when I laid a King James Bible on the floor next to my cell in federal holding. And I didn't know nothing. I didn't know where Genesis or Revelation was at the time. But a preacher had preached it, and I laid it there on the floor, and I said something like this. I said, If what that book says is true, I didn't know for sure, but I said, if what that book says is true, I got bigger problems than prison.
That's right.
Yeah. And I said, you and me both know I belong there. I deserve to go to prison, and I deserve to go to hell. I had more honesty at that point in time in my life than some people have. Amen.
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, really. And I said, but something like this, the Lord... That book also says you went to the cross for me. And I knew John 3:16, probably could quote it, you know, but everybody knows that. And, pretty much. And, best way I knew how, I asked the Lord to forgive me.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I found out later just what all that entailed. Amen. It meant that I was saved from my sin, saved from myself, saved from hell. Amen. It's good to be saved.
Amen.
Amen. I like the word redeemed. I didn't know that. The only thing I redeemed was about what you do back in the 60s with pop bottles. You took them back to the store. Amen. And we have Kroger's up north. Kroger's is our big grocery store. You have HEB. H-E-B. My wife, she just had to know what the initials H-E-B stood for. Yeah. So, of course, what do? You ask the wizard.
Siri?
So that's, I'm going to move on from there. Amen. And they probably did it there too, you know. We'd take the pop bottles back, and that was my job, you know. Eight-year-old David would take, collect the bottles, you know. My dad would drink a six-pack of Coke a week. He's a carpenter, hard-working man. My mom drank Tab. I still don't understand how anybody drank Tab. I think the only reason she did that is make sure I didn't steal a sip, because that was nasty, even to a little kid. Amen. Then she went to Fresca. I went, that's a little better, not much. You remember some of that, don't you?
Yeah.
Amen. But I'd make sure them bottles got back, because that was my allowance. 24 cents. 2 dimes and 4 pennies if I turned in all them 1, 2, 12 bottles faithfully. Amen. You tried to give your kid 24 cents a week allowance, they would get a lawyer. They'd have you in court. Probably. Amen. But here's what I knew. This is where I became acquainted with the word redeemed. That's when they bought the bottles back. Yeah. And I would listen. I'm a little kid. I couldn't even reach the counter. I could get them up there. And I couldn't see what they did with them. And I'm waiting for them to smash them, because that's what I wanted to do. But for 2 cents, I ain't smashing them. And they didn't smash them. They put them on a conveyor and sent them back to the bottling company, where they cleaned them up and filled them up. And put them to use. And boy, when God redeemed you, that's what He wants to do with you. He wants to clean you up. Amen. And fill you up. And put you back into His service. Isn't that something? Amen. It's good to be saved. It's good to be forgiven. It's good to be redeemed. I like that. I like that. Now, some of y'all might be in this category. I don't want to say wheeler and dealer. Let's say great deal finders. Amen. My pastor. He can go into Lowe's or Home Depot and they'll have a refrigerator on clearance marked down hundreds of dollars off, and he'll walk in, he'll look at it if he needs it. He'll look at it and say, I'd like to talk to the manager. And person on the floor would bring the manager, yes sir. And he says, if it's marked down to $1,000, he said, I'll give you $500 for that. And I go, well, we can't do it. They said, yeah, you can. Actually, you can. I know that you can. And I mean, he can, especially in the process of redoing our church, lights for the ceiling, electrical, he could go in and get it pennies on the dollar. I don't know how he does it. He can make money on anything. I am not that way. I lose money. If I buy something at a good price with the intention of reselling it, I'll lose money. That's why God doesn't, I don't have t-shirts and bow ties and stuff for sale. I don't have nothing. I just can do this. Lord, let me do this. Amen. Made money on anything else. Legal. Did I mention that? Yeah. Amen. Amen. But my pastor is a really good businessman. I get thinking about that. And the reason I bring that up is I think about the Lord sometimes. And I'm thinking, the Lord's not a very good businessman. Because I was not even close to being worth what He paid for me.
Amen.
Right.
Neither were you.
Nope.
Amen?
Amen?
Some days, and I'm glad it still happens this way.
Yes.
I'm glad I don't have any days where I wake up and think, wow, what can I do for the Lord today? I wake up in the morning going, are you kidding me? I'm on my way to heaven. Amen. And if I ever even get a 10 temptation to get too big for my britches, that gal right there will keep me in check. And then we do that for each other, because that's what we're supposed to do for each other. And that's what we're supposed to do for each other. He's the only one that belongs on any kind of throne.
Amen.
Amen. But I wasn't worth what He paid for me, but I'm sure glad He was willing to pay. Aren't you? We're talking about it's good to be here. It's good to be here in the body of Christ. It's good to be amongst believers. It's good to be going to heaven. Is that my whole outline? Did I just head bowed and eyes closed? Let's just wrap this up. No, I'm kidding. Amen. It is good to be forgiven. Jesus said it like this in John chapter 3 and verse 7. You can go ahead and turn there, because you're staring at me and making me nervous. Not really. But you need to see him once in a while at least. John chapter 3 and verse 7, the Bible says this. Marvel not. Now this is the Lord speaking. He said, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Now, I didn't take Hebrew in Bible school while I was on federal probation. And the only Greek I knew lived in Detroit, and he moved out years ago. I don't blame him. Amen. But in the English, Jesus made it pretty clear, didn't he? Yeah. Ye must be born again. Amen. It's not optional. I saw a little sign. It wasn't a sticker, I guess, but a little cardboard thing back when I first got saved. And it said, born once, die twice. Born twice, die once. Now, if I ever saw that in my first 37 years of my life, I do not remember, because it would have made absolutely no sense to me. But I hadn't been saved very long when I saw that, and I knew exactly what it meant. And that's why he said you must be born again. Amen. Dying once is enough for me. I don't want to do it twice. Amen. Say, Brother Burton, are you afraid of dying? No. No, but I'm just going to be honest with you. I don't want to be there when it happens. Think about that. I just want to go to sleep and wake up in heaven. You know, who doesn't, right? Right? But I'm glad I was born again. Jesus said, you must be born again. I heard this expression by a preacher friend of mine in Florida one time. He said, before you get saved, you're on the hell-bound train. Amen. But that morning in that jail cell, I switched trains. Amen. And let me ask you something before we move on. Which train are you on tonight? I'm glad you're here. I acknowledge you're in church on a Friday night, but I can't escape the reality that millions and millions of Americans go to church faithfully every week. And to take it for granted that everybody is indeed born again, saved by putting their faith and trust in what Jesus Christ did on the cross, plus nothing, minus nothing. For a preacher to assume that would be a dangerous assumption. Amen. I preached in Bismarck, North Dakota 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago, they flew us up there, and three men came forward after the invitation. People don't come forward like they once did, but I said, listen, you got a question. I'll be standing over here, and I was standing up by the front, and everybody started breaking up, mingling, and going to the back. You say the final amen, and the church isn't vacant for at least another hour. And that's a sign of a healthy church. People like the fellowship. And I just stood up there, and these three guys headed up. Three guys came to the front, and I was watching them as I was preaching, and it looked like, you know, they didn't look like they were used to the lingo, and they came, and one was a 29-year-old sheriff. One was a 24-year-old Bismarck, North Dakota city cop. And one was a 24-year-old correction officer at the county jail, and they'd been invited by a member of the church who was also a correction officer. And they came forward, and there we were, up by the front, and I led them three cops. Can you believe this?
Amen.
To the Lord. Oh boy, I can go a long way on something like that.
Amen.
Amen. And there they were sitting in the church, and well, they're here on a church on a Tuesday night, they must be okay. I don't assume that. People make it into our midst all the time, and they're looking. They're searching. They're looking for the truth. I don't know what your testimony is, how you came to Christ, or if you need to. But once you do, and tonight would be a great night.
Amen.
Once you do, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about when I say to you tonight, it is good to be saved. It is good to have your sins forgiven. It is good to know that you're going to heaven. Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. And I got my plans for tomorrow. Amen. The Lord could interrupt them, but I'm going to tell you what, he's not going to interrupt if he chose to, and I don't wake up tomorrow or something happens. Here's what I do know. I know that I'm going to be present with the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. I know where I'm going. I hope you do. And if you don't, I'd love. Ladies in here, we got teenagers in here that could open a Bible and show you how to know that you're saved.
Amen.
He made it easy. He didn't make it hard. Religion makes it hard. Amen. Jesus Christ made it simple. obviously. Amen. So, number one, it is good to be saved. But let me say this to you. Take your Bible, go to Proverbs chapter 9. Proverbs chapter 9. And the Bible says in verse 10. Proverbs 9 verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Amen. Knowledge of the holy comes from God's holy book. Not Google, not Siri, not YouTube. Amen. If they ever get it right, it's because they're saying what this book says. Amen. Knowledge of the holy doesn't come from some imitation Bible. And there is a difference, and it does matter. That's why we emphasize it. Amen. We're not being mean. We're just persuaded.
Amen.
Amen. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. I'm getting saved is the smartest thing I ever did. And in case you're, unclear on that, it's the smartest thing you ever did.
Amen.
Because the Bible says, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Nothing else matters. You miss that. I hope nobody in here misses it. And it says wisdom and knowledge. I read this, and this is right my level of comprehension. It says, thank you. I was looking for the water. And watch him go sit down. It was for him. And the Lord does stuff like that to a preacher too. Amen. He wants us to be here a long time because he brought two. Is that for the whole week? Thank you,
that's
brother. Thank you. Got to make it last. Here's where I listen for the snap, because some churches, I think, refill them from the back. Never know these days. Amen, amen. I hope it's okay to set that there, and if not, I'll figure something else out. You'll let me know. I know you will. All right, knowledge versus wisdom. Knowledge. I know. Prepare to be impressed. You write this down. You heard this from Dave Spurgeon. Knowledge is knowing that a tomato is a fruit. You knew that, right? No, good. It's one person. Thank you, sister. That's knowledge. Wisdom is knowing not to put it in a fruit salad. That's my speed right there. I thought, that is profound. I like that. We're talking about fear of the Lord's beginning of wisdom and knowledge of the holy is understanding. John chapter 15. Go there. John chapter 15 and verse 3. So what he's saying, it is good to have the Word of God, the inspired, inerrant Word of God.
Amen.
Knowledge of the holy comes from the book. Amen. Amen. John chapter 15 and verse 3, Jesus Christ himself said this, now ye are clean through the Word which I have spoken unto you. Word of God will clean you up. Amen. Some of you might have office jobs. Some of you work out in the heat. Like, it's April. What is it? July? I can't count. I can't imagine. I'll be in Minnesota in July. Amen. You work out in the heat. You work hard. It's hot. You sweat. You get dirty. Amen. Tired. I had a job. My first job after the military, which was 20 years after the military, somebody said, aren't you worried that the IRS is going to look you up and ask you where you were for those 20 years? I said, I'm not worried about it. I'm going to answer honestly. I don't recall. I don't know what happened to the 20s and the 30s. Amen. But when I got saved and I got probation, bail and then probation, that federal judge said, through my probation officer said, this person's got to get a job. And I'm thinking, get a job. Everything I'm good at is illegal. Amen. A guy from the church gave me a chance, gave me a job, laborer, steel building, metal, pre-engineered metal buildings, construction. It was a lot of fun. It was like a big erector set. Amen. But it was work. It was work. And getting hot, sweaty, dirty, smelly, and I'm like a 38-year-old overweight laborer on a crew trying to keep up with teenagers. And, I won't go there. I had to slow them down. I'll take you up back. No. Amen. I mean, I was wore out. at the end of a day, and we had worked out of town. We worked all over a couple of counties in southern Ohio and have to drive home, and I'd be so exhausted. I lived upstairs. I had an upstairs apartment in somebody's house, and I lived in a real bad neighborhood, and it was suggested that I move to a better neighborhood, so I did. And then the better neighborhood was still in a bad neighborhood. It was just better than the one I lived in when I got saved, and it took me a while to make it to the suburbs. Amen. Amen. And then God put me in a motorhome on the road. I got to talk to him about that. Amen. I'd come home from work, and I'm dirty, filthy, tired, smelly, sweaty. And I'd pull up in front of my house, and I knew I had to get out of the car. I had to walk up them stairs, and I'm going, I don't think I can do it. I can't walk up them. I can't. I said, why? I'm just going to walk down in the morning, get back in the car, go back to work. I'm just going to sleep here in the car, just sit here on the street, sleep here in the car. And that's where my mind was at the time. And the Holy Spirit's going, you have class at 7 o'clock. Because I was in the Bible school. I had been called to preach, and I'm in the Bible Institute, and I'd make myself get out of the car and trudge up the stairs, and I got an hour, and I'm going to get in the shower, and I'd stand there, and all that filth, all that dirt, and all that stuff would wash off. And I was standing there going, wow, it's kind of rejuvenating to be clean. And I'd summon the energy to get dressed and go get my Bible and get to the church and sit through 3 hours of classes and start it all over again. What do you say? Jesus said, now you're clean.
Amen.
Through the word which I have spoken unto you. It is good to be clean. Let me put it to you like this. What if you work like that? Some of you no doubt do. But you only took a shower like once a week. That'd be pretty bad, wouldn't it? You start to smell pretty bad. Amen. That wasn't a question, I'm telling you. In case that idea enters into your mind, other people would notice before you did. Yeah. Hey, brother. Amen. Here's why I say that. Jesus said, now you're clean. I want to be where the word of God is spoken. I need to be where the word of God is spoken, because it'll clean you up spiritually. If you don't read your Bible, if you don't go to church as much as you can, it'd be the equivalent of taking a shower once a week after working hard. We get dirty exposed in this world. I'm talking about, it don't matter if you work in an office or you work on a pipeline. It doesn't matter. We get dirty.
Amen.
Exposed to this world. And we need what goes on in here. And we need what we get when we read the Bible. And Jesus said, now you're clean through the word.
Amen.
I've spoken. I mean, come on. We don't want to be, we don't want God holding his nose,
Amen.
Amen. Beloved, it is good to have the word of God.
Amen.
And make it, we'll establish this at least tonight. I'm talking about the AV 1611.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. So it's good to be here. That's what Peter said. And I agree with him. You agree with him?
Amen.
It was good. Only two other humans, amen. People like you and me were there. And it was definitely good to be there, but it's good to be here.
Amen.
With like-minded believers.
Amen.
And the key to that is believers. Are you saved tonight?
Amen.
Good to be saved, ain't it?
Amen.
Let's try that again. It's good to be saved, ain't it?
Amen.
I like that. Amen. And it's good to have the Bible. Isn't it good to have the Bible?
Amen.
You got a Bible? Raise your Bible.
Amen.
I'm looking for phones right now. And I probably shouldn't, but it's the age in which we... No, keep going, brother. I'll tell you what, it is good. It is good to have the Word of God. And it also... Luke 18. Luke 18 and verse number 1. And he... Now, that's him. That's him speaking. Be good to listen when he's speaking. Amen? And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray.
Amen.
And not to faint.
Amen.
You read through the parable there? And the purpose of it was to emphasize the importance of prayer. Brother Linda and I were talking. We were talking just before the service about the importance of prayer. Listen, I can't do everything I did 20 years ago. Amen. But I can still pray.
Amen.
And I told him, a lady sat at a church one time. She said, Brother Spurgeon, I'd like to help you, but all I can do is pray. And I don't know what she was talking about.
Amen.
Maybe giving us money. I'm going to tell you what, there ain't enough money to make up for effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman. Amen. Hebrews chapter 4 and 16, a familiar verse says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need.
Amen.
Amen. If you're sitting here tonight, you have a direct line to the throne of grace. That's a big deal. I wonder why more people don't have, take advantage of that. Thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the only way we have access to the throne. We have no righteousness of our own. Amen. We're talking about the importance of prayer. James 5, it says, confess, verse 16, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another. Right? A lot of verses about how we're supposed to treat one another. And then it says that ye confess your faults one to another. We're not real famous for that, because then we'd have to admit we make mistakes. I don't know why that's so hard. We make a lot of them. I do. God gave me a wife to remind me, you know, I don't know what your secret is. Amen. Amen. Don't worry. I'll return the favor. Don't worry. It says, but pray one for another. And you'd think, because our church on Wednesday night, I was in my home church way more in the last 3 months than I usually am in 3 years. And so isn't it nice to know when we got taken out of action, amen, for rehab, God gave me a great VA hospital to do all that, amen. And then they send me money. Don't get carried away, but a little bit. They didn't send me a bill, amen. But more important than that was we have a little church on the backside of Dayton, Ohio, and it believes this book, and we got brothers and sisters there, and we pray for one another, and we got to spend a lot of time there, and they even let me hobble up there and preach a couple of times, just being gracious to an old man, I guess. Amen. But I thank God. We take prayer requests on Wednesday night, and, you know, you take, oh, pray for so-and-so, pray for this person, and they're in the hospital, or they're, you know, wherever, whatever the prayer request is, and you pray for them that they, you know, heal them up, Lord. And if this need is primarily or predominantly spiritual, Lord, reveal yourself to them that in this trial perhaps they'll get saved. Then have mercy on their cancer, mercy on their physical thing, right? You pray for people so that God will intercede on their behalf. But the verse says, confess your faults one another and pray one for another that ye may be healed.
Yeah.
So when you're praying for other people, Jesus Christ is up there making intercession for you.
I heard
it said like this one time, you'd need less prayer yourself if you prayed more than you do for other people.
Amen.
That's like a little nugget I got from my Bible school teacher. And I never got over it. I never got past it. Amen. I was thinking about something the other day, and I realized, I remembered, that, you know, when you have aught with somebody, I know none of you ever do, but personally, you know, I'm still flesh, part flesh. And when the wrong kind of spirit or attitude arises, the Holy Spirit said, you know, you need to pray for that person. And I know, I found out that if you'll sincerely pray for other people, it's hard to hold a grudge against somebody you're really praying for. Amen. If we would pray one for another, amen, our prayers might be a little sweeter savor to God. And we got a lot of talking to do and praying and lip service, but God's let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. Tell you what, when you pray for one another, it reminds you that no matter what you're going through, if you're really taking that seriously, you know what you're reminded of? There's a whole lot of people that got it much worse than you do.
Amen.
Today.
Amen.
You know, we get caught up with this, you know, in our little world. But then when you get to praying and you've got a list and you're keeping a list and you're being sensitive to the things that are, you know, coming through the prayer letters and things like that. And You're not so caught up in you. You think, wow, compared, most people in this world would trade places with any American. Amen.
Right.
Let alone say born again, heaven bound.
Yeah.
Amen. That's just how I get to keep it in perspective. I need to be reminded of that. Cause I just want to, it's me, that's all I care about. Me, myself, and I, the unholy Trinity.
Right.
And, I'm glad the Lord is patient with me. Amen. And it said, the verse ended with the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. The effectual, fervent, flip the beads, go to prayer, all of an unrighteous man don't avail nothing. Amen. You can con anybody. Maybe you think you can con, but nobody's conning God. And the key to that verse and the key to getting prayers answered is to stay right with God. Righteous man, right with God. That means when the Holy Spirit bears witness to something, whether it's in a message or in a prayer or in your Bible, when the Holy Spirit bears witness to something, puts his finger on something going on in your life, some attitude, and you don't go into well compared to so-and-so mode, Paul said that's not wise anyway. When the Holy Spirit bears witness to something and you act on it, and you get that thing right, that cements your place to praying ground so that you can intercede for others. Amen. I want to be on praying ground because I got kids.
Amen.
And a couple of them really need my prayers at all times. One year it's this couple and then it's this, that changes all the time as we go through life. Amen. Some need more than others. But I know this, I got, how many? 13 grandchildren. Now I know that 13's not a good number, you know, the number of rebellion. So in my little girl that had a baby last October, when she got pregnant, I said, look, I need you to have twins so we can just go right to 14. And I don't have to tell anybody we got 13, but I know this. Them kids ranging from 6-7 months to 21, they need grandma and me on praying ground.
Amen.
And when I'm tempted to prone to wander like the hymn said and get, you know, want my own way, there's little people, even the ones that are taller than me, they need me and her. Right with God.
Amen.
And chances are that scenario repeats itself over and over again in every quadrant of this room. We got kids, some of us got parents and aren't saved or aren't right with God. You understand? That's a motivation to stay right with God, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Amen. I want to be on praying ground for your family. When I get a prayer request from this church, I know a lot of you by name. Don't press me on that. Not day one anyway. But I want to be able to pray for you guys. Amen. And I'm going to be honest with you. I'm selfish. If you ain't figured that out yet. I want you on praying ground for me and my wife on the road. We came through. Did I already say this? Kentucky. I did. Thank you. And I won't go over that again. That's part of it. Somebody said, my memory, I get a guy in his 50s saying, my memory's not what it was. And I went, don't worry, it's going to get worse. Worse and worse and worse. I'll tell you what, let me just state some obvious and launch this meeting, right? Isn't it good to be in a Bible-believing church? Amen? I mean, it is important to be where the Word of God is believe. Why? Because faith, we're supposed to increase our faith. Jesus told the apostles, increase your faith. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Thank God that I don't know about you, how you got here, but God took me right out of jail, right into a church where a preacher opened that book and showed me it was the inerrant, inspired word of God. My pastor taught rightly dividing the word of truth for 1 year in Sunday school. Every Sunday, he was a school teacher. He would always do the review and then go on and add a little bit. And even an ex-drug addict and drunkard and convict like me, after a year, I understood more than I would have if he'd have just read the verse and moved on. Saying kumbaya, and you know, see you next week. God knew I wouldn't have lasted 6 months in that environment. He put me in a Bible-believing church. And that's all I've known. But I know this, I've got brothers and sisters all over the country that came through other denominations, came through different beliefs, came through all kinds of things to end up in a place where somebody showed them the Word of God was exactly that, the inspired Word of God. Amen. Bible says not forsaking. It says, Hebrews 10, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and unto good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, but as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And that's more important than ever, to be faithful to that Bible-believing church that we all just agreed we're glad that we're able to be at, right?
Amen.
All right. So I was out in Colorado, a year or so ago, and this lady has a shop, and we would put tracks there, and I thought she was, she claims to be a Christian, and there were other people in the shop. It was a leather shop, and I said, "So, where do you go to church?" And I wanted her to say so that, you know, it would... And I did not expect in a million years what she said. She said, "Oh, I don't go to church, but God knows my heart." And I thought, I wish I'd have never said nothing, because that was a terrible testimony to the other people in the store. Amen. God knows her heart, she said. Yeah, she's right about that. He knows it better than she does. The Bible said in Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9, it says, "For the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" We're talking about the importance of being in your Bible, importance of being in prayer, importance of being in church. Sometimes the world, the flesh, and the devil will all keep you busy enough to find excuses not to be where you need to be or do what you're supposed to do. But here's what I've learned, and I've started out by just being honest about myself. People find a way to do what they want to do.
That's right.
Amen. They figure out how to go where they really want to go. They'll move their schedule around. Doesn't matter. They'll spend money that they shouldn't have. That's just how we are. So here, a good advice would be to just purpose in your heart. That's in the Bible somewhere. I think Daniel chapter 2. That you're going to read your Bible, that you're going to pray, and that you're going to come to church. And you make up your mind. Bless God. And I get it, man. Lord willing, and He is. Lord helping, and He will. Amen. Amen. The Bible says this, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. He said unto me, "My grace is sufficient unto thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." That's high ground right there. Amen. We've been through some things. I'm not saying I look forward to them. I know God will get you through. Some of you have been through some things. God will get us through them. But, amen. I personally, just be honest, I prefer smooth sailing. I just do. I'm a wimp. But it sure is good to be reminded. And that's what you get reminded of in church or in your Bible, that His grace is sufficient. Amen. And we need to be reminded of that.
That's right.
The devil ain't going to remind you of that. You skip church. You lay out of your Bible. You sit at home singing the blues. You know what the devil will do? He'll provide the backup music.
Yeah.
And here's what he'll do. He'll convince you that God has not been fair to you. That's what he does. That's why we need to gather around, assemble together. Bible says, "Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend." Amen. I'm not here to tell you something tonight. Even if you're lost in here tonight, God has not been fair to you. Let's just figure that out right now. The devil's a stinking liar. Because if he was, you'd be in hell right now.
Amen.
Every one of us.
Amen.
Amen. Now, I'm not going to hell. I'm fireproof. I have diplomatic immunity. Yeah, amen. I'm a child of God. I'm an ambassador for Christ. Amen. I'm not going there. That was settled a long time ago.
Amen.
Amen. But maybe that's not settled for somebody in here tonight. It can be. It sure needs to be before you take that last breath. Amen. And we're talking about it's good to be here. Let me tell you something. Don't let this warning about about an eternal hell, that Jesus Christ went to the cross to make a way for you to get forgiven. Don't let that go in one ear and out the other, because I'm here to tell you right now, it will not for one second, nanosecond, and I have no idea what that even means, it will not be good to be there.
That's right.
Amen. If you're in here and you're not saved, that book says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
That whosoever.
Amen.
That got me.
Yeah.
That works for you too. Whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Versus everlasting death. You step into eternity, you can have it all right here, but if you don't move it down. Well, you'll have a long time to remember that what you've been told, whether it was here tonight or other times, that was true, and you blew it. Don't blow it. Don't blow it. If you're in here tonight and you're not saved, please, tarry.
Yes.
We're going to break up. People are going to fellowship. They're real friendly here if you don't know that. You already know that. You think I'm the outsider. I'm not. I'm one of y'all. Can somebody amen that, please?
Yeah.
I know some of you like us. That was an amen from God. Or a fighter jet. I'm not sure, but I'll take either one. I like that. Amen. Let's all stand. If you would like to be saved, I mean once and for all. Once and for all. For real. Boy, we would love to open a Bible. Whoever's going to come, whether it's Brother Billy, whoever, they're going to make that easy for you. But let me say this. If you've been guilty, we're talking about it's good to be here. And again, some of you I've seen for years, you pray for us, but this is what happens to me if I'm not real careful. I get to where I take the goodness of God for granted.
Amen.
And that's what's good about a meeting. It's good about every church service. Not just once a year or twice a year. It's good to get our priorities lined up back with His.
Amen.
Amen. And that's the purpose of this thing, and we're starting tonight. But I mean, if in any way, shape, or form, you've got to where maybe you're taking some things for granted, that'd be a good night to get that sorted out and under the blood, and then we can look forward to what God's got for us in the days to come. Preacher?